In his first letter to the Corinthians, Paul writes, "Think of us in this way, as servants of Christ and stewards of God's mysteries. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It has been said that somewhere on our journey between two hospitals, the hospitals in which we were born and the hospital in which we may die, we need to find an answer to two of life's most significant questions. One, who are we? And two, what is expected of us? Our text for today provides an answer to those two questions. The first question, who are we? Paul says, we are servants of Christ and stewards of God's mysteries. Servants of Christ. The word servant here means under rower. It gives us the picture of a group of people in a boat, each with an oar in hand, and the captain of the crew standing at the end of the boat giving orders to row. So as servants of Christ, we're in a boat called the church, and Christ is the captain of the boat. We're the under rowers, working under the teachings of Christ, empowered by His Spirit to row the boat of His kingdom forward toward a world of love and justice and peace. As servants of Christ, Paul also says we are stewards, housekeepers of God's mysteries. We are called to manage God's household under God's direction. All the owner's resources are at the steward's disposal. God has relinquished absolute control of the world and shared power with us. And now we are accountable to God to manage God's resources. Created in the image of God, loved by God, as the people of God, we've been given a responsibility from God to serve and to be good stewards of God's household. That's who we are. As servants and stewards, what does God expect of us? Paul said, it's required of us stewards that we be found faithful. Now, when you think about it, that's really good news, considering what God could have required of us. God could have required that we be successful. In a world where if we're not at the top of the heap, if we're not number one, we can easily convince ourselves we're not worth much at all. Anybody remember what Ricky Bobby's daddy always told him? You're not first, you're last. That's right. But the Bible doesn't say that God requires us to be first, or that God requires us to be successful. God doesn't require that we be better than everyone else, or anyone else, in fact, or as successful as our parents, our siblings, or our peers. And God doesn't require the church to be successful in terms of large crowds or big budgets. God's only requirement is that we be faithful. God doesn't require that we be talented either. We are each gifted in different ways, and God calls us to discern what those gifts are. But God doesn't require of us the visibility of Hollywood talent. God only requires that we take the life we've been given and the abilities that we have and be faithful with them, using them in community with God's people for the good of the world. God also doesn't require that we be more intelligent than everyone else. The Bible does call us to love God with all of our minds, to keep our minds open to what God may want to teach us or show us, and not boast in our ignorance or close our minds thinking we know everything there is to know. God doesn't require us to know everything. God's only requirement is that we be faithful with the minds we've been given. I think this passage of Scripture is one of the most encouraging, uplifting, liberating verses in all the Bible, because it reminds us that the one thing God requires of us is something we all can do. Perhaps you grew up with unrealistic expectations from your parents or teachers or church or even yourself. And it takes a lot of spiritual work, perhaps even some therapeutic work, to understand those expectations were not set by God. Not all of us can be successful. Not all of us are phenomenal talents. Not all of us are intellectually brilliant. But all of us can be faithful with what we've been given. It is required of stewards that they be found faithful. Now, what does it mean to be faithful? I think it means being true to your best self and true to what we've been given. In one of his many brilliant parables, Jesus told the story about a man who was going on a journey. So he entrusted his possessions to three of his servants. To one of his servants, he gave 5 talents. To another, he gave 2 talents. To another, he gave 1 talent. A talent was a large sum of money, equal to the wages it would take for a day laborer 15 years to earn. So this is a very wealthy man entrusting great responsibility to his servants. He went on a journey, and when he returned, it was time for the servants to give an account. The one to whom 5 talents were given invested them and brought back to the master 10 talents in all. The one to whom 2 talents were given invested them, brought back to the master 4 talents in all. The one to whom 1 talent was given was afraid to do anything, so he didn't invest it at all, but buried it in the ground. Consequently, he returned to the master only the 1 talent he had been given. You remember the response of the master to the servant who did not invest his talent. The master said, "You wicked and lazy slave, you ought to have at least invested my money with the bankers, and upon my return I would have received what was mine with a little bit of interest." Then he ordered the talent to be taken from the servant and given to the one with 10 talents. Notice that the servant was not scolded for investing the money and losing it. He was not scolded for failure. He was scolded for not trying. We will find God's displeasure not in our trying and failing, but rather in our refusal to attempt anything at all. But notice also the reason the other servants were praised. To the 2 servants who invested the money, the master says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." The exact same response is given by the master to the servant who brought back ten talents and the servant who brought back four. Exact same words of praise. Why? Because God doesn't require us to be the best. Only that we be faithful with what we've been given. Notice the master did not praise them for being successful. He didn't say, well done, good and successful servants. You were successful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many. The master said, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful. God only requires that we be faithful with what we have. Faithfulness does not mean accomplishing as much as other people, graduating at the top of the class, imitating others we may admire, or giving as much as other people. Faithfulness means being true to the person God has made you to be, accomplishing what you can, and giving as generously as you are able with what you've been given. It means being faithful when it is easy and remaining faithful when it is costly. Clarence Jordan was a man of unusual abilities and commitment. He had two PhDs, one in agriculture, the other in Greek and Hebrew. He was gifted enough to do about anything he wanted to do. What he chose to do was to serve the poor in Christ's name. In the 1940s, he founded a farm in Americus, Georgia, and called it Koinonia Farm. Koinonia, as you may know, is the Greek word for fellowship, which means sharing life together. Koinonia Farm was a community for poor whites and poor blacks where they could farm the land and live together. As you might imagine, in the South in the 1940s, there was strong resistance from the citizens in that area to the idea of blacks and whites living together. The citizens of that area tried everything they could to stop Clarence Jordan. They boycotted him and they slashed his workers' tires when they came to town. For 14 years, they continually harassed him. Finally, in 1954, the Ku Klux Klan decided to make one more push to get rid of Clarence Jordan and his Koinonia farm. They came in the middle of the night with guns and torches. They set fire to every building on Koinonia Farm except for Clarence's home, which they practically destroyed with bullets. They chased off all the families except for one black family who refused to leave. Clarence recognized the voice of one of the Klansmen to be that of the local newspaper reporter. The next day, that reporter came out to see what remained of the farm. Smoke was still hovering around and the land was scorched. The reporter found Clarence in the field, hoeing and planting. The reporter said, "I heard of your awful news, I heard the awful news of your tragedy last night, and I came out to do a story on the closing of your farm." Clarence just kept hoeing and planting. The reporter kept prodding and poking, trying to get a word from this quietly determined man who seemed to be planting instead of packing. Finally, with a harsh voice of ridicule, the reporter said, "Well, Mr. Jordan, you got two of them PhDs, and you put 14 years into this farm, and now there's nothing left of it at all. Just how successful do you think you've been? Clarence stopped hoeing. He turned toward the reporter with penetrating eyes and said quietly but firmly, "Sir, I don't think you understand us Christians. What we are about is not success. What we are about is faithfulness." And that's what I want us to hear this morning about our lives. That's what I want us to hear about our life together as church. We are not about success. We are about faithfulness. Showing up, doing what we've been given to do, loving who we've been given to love. And those of you who sincerely desire to follow Christ and live a life pleasing to God, please remember that God does not require you to be perfect or to be successful as this world understands success. The only thing God requires of you and me is that we be faithful. Faithful to ourselves. Faithful with what we've been given. As we seek to live as servants and stewards of our God. And as under rowers on this ship called the church, may we ever be mindful that we sail under the command of Christ, a Christ who rose with us and works with us, encouraging us when we fail, sustaining us when we are weak, yet challenging us in our efforts to be nothing more and nothing less than faith. Our hymn of response this morning is hymn 159, "Fairest Lord Jesus." If there are commitments you wish to make this day where you are seated, or those you wish to make public to follow Christ and be baptized, or to unite your life with this community of faith as we seek to be faithful servants and stewards of God, this is a time for those decisions as we stand together and sing, "Fairest Lord Jesus." Let us stand and respond.